the Torah tells us in Parsha Shemini, it gives us, I should say, how do you know if something's kosher? As you say, what's the definition of kosher? So I'll tell you how you don't define kosher. It's a popular misconception in the world. What do most people think kosher is? They think it's correct. The rabbi blessing the food. That's what they tell me. And I say, great. I wish I had that control. You mean if I go over to the pig and I make a blessing on the pig, it's kosher? So as I point out, I try to make 100 blessings a day because King David taught me that. But that's making a blessing and being kosher are two different points, because there's an apparent contradiction in Tehillim. And one time it says, the land Hashem Aratzom Lola. One end it says that the land, that it belongs to us. And another place it says that it belongs to God. So the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha, how do we reconcile? Kan Kodem Bracha, Kan Acha Bracha. Before you make a blessing, everything belongs to God. But after we make the blessing, so then we're permitted to partake. So brachas might let me eat the food, but it has nothing to do with the definition of kosher. In fact, there's a discussion, if I'm eating non-kosher food, can I make a bracha? So of course, if you're eating non-kosher food when you're not allowed to, then the simple pshat is no bracha. But the question is, what about if your life's in danger? You're stuck on a desert island and it's only a McDonald's and it's not a kosher McDonald's. Am I allowed to make a bracha when I'm eating? My eating is a mitzvah, I'm saving my life, but the food is not kosher. So then the post can say one is permitted to make a bracha unless the non-kosher like makes you so repulsed that you can't make the bracha. But so there are cases where you can make a bracha on non-kosher food under special scenarios. But generally, the brachas have nothing to do with kosher. We only make bracha on kosher foods. So what is kosher? So that's in Parsha Shemini, it tells us the definition of a kosher animal is if it chews its cud and has split hooves. So by definition, if you don't have both of those, if you only have one or none, it's game over. You'll never become kosher. Even though they're interesting, there's an Or HaChayim HaKodesh, which points out, what do we call a pig? What does the Torah call a pig? What do we call a pig? You know, a chazer. That's what we get. It's someone who like, this stuffing the face all the time, we call him a chazer because that's what a pig is. So there's an Or HaChayim HaKodesh that the chazer will be, when the time Mashiach comes, Tchiyas HaMesim, whatever, that Lasid Lavo, it will become kosher. Chazer means it returns. That's a difficult Or HaChayim, what he means exactly, because the Torah is eternal. And therefore, if it doesn't have chew its cut and split hooves, it's not kosher by definition. So that's animals. And there's birds. Birds are, the Torah gives a list of 24 birds that are not kosher. And then every other bird is kosher. The problem is, we're not bird experts today. So we don't know, maybe the names have changed. So we don't know exactly which birds are. The Gemara gives us different principles about those that attack their prey and do other things. So we generally have a tradition by birds, what we can eat, what we can't eat. And then fish, on the other hand, is the easiest. You go fishing in the lake and you go find a fish. It has fins and scales, huh?
7 minutes.
You have fins and scales. And then you go ahead and you eat it. You don't have to worry about shchitas. So those are the three basic rules of kosher. That by animals, it's it's a definition. If it's chews, it's cut, and split hairs, it's kosher. Fins and scales, it's definitive. And then you have by birds, which is less clear, but we figure it out based on the Talmud and other principles that give us. So that's one part of kosher. And then we have another kosher where the Torah tells us, don't mix meat and milk together. Even though milk is kosher and meat is kosher, we all know you can't mix meat and milk together. And the Torah says it three times to tell me it's prohibited to cook it together, it's prohibited to eat it after you cook it, and it's prohibited to get benefit. In other words, if you have a dog or a cat, you can't feed, you could give them non-kosher, but you can't give them milk and meat cooked together. Cannot. Well, if it's only rabbinical, then you can. But I'm saying strictly, if you take, if it's biblical milk and meat, then it's prohibited. Not that the cat can't eat it. But you can't give it to the cat. The cat can do anything he wants in terms of kosher. So that's the rule. So we learn out to. Yeah, Henry.
Can you give it to a non-Jewish person?
No, that would be getting hana. They talk about maybe giving it to someone you don't know or stuff like that. Most of the time, it's only true if it's biblical milk and meat. If it's chicken or if it's non, it has to be biblical. It has to be kosher meat. And has to be basar tahora. It has to be kosher meat from a kosher animal. So therefore, most times, the only potential biblical prohibition of milk and, well, it's prohibited for another reason, eating non-kosher. But the only McDonald's you'd find potentially milk and meat is if you go to Israel. And if it's a non-kosher McDonald's, they'll have cows. So generally, the other McDonald's, I don't know, but they'll use cheaper meat and it won't be necessarily from a kosher animal. So that's just, but that's just the rule in general. Right, so there are exceptions talking about giving it, what do you do with it, give it to a stray dog, but that's what the Torah tells us. What do you do with a trefa? You have an animal that you can't use. What do? You throw it to the dogs. Why did the dogs get it? Because they were quiet. They didn't bark at us when we left Egypt. You don't have to give it to the dogs. You could give it to non-Jews as well. So that's milk and meat. Why can't we have milk and meat? Again, the Torah just says, you're a holy nation. That's why you have to eat kosher. It doesn't tell us why. So,
We do have a good.
Why don't we have a good definition? We have.
And all the rules are acceptable, and we abide by them. But the fact that the word kosher is not in the Torah or not in the Talmud is, I found, very curious.
Right, it might be curious, but it doesn't affect any practical halacha. It doesn't change anything. That's not a word they use. They used other words. But that doesn't make it. So, but the rules are clear. What kosher is, it's a technical question. Why isn't kosher used? That's a fair question, but it's not relevant. The rules are very clear. What's kosher? What isn't? If it chews, it's cut and split hooves, it's kosher. If it has fins and scales, so in the Torah, it's clear what's kosher, what's not. It's not clear to us why the Torah didn't use the word kosher, but what is kosher is clear.
I'm going to disagree with you, but I'm not going to enunciate why I disagree with you. I have a problem with what you're saying.
Yes.
You cannot understand why I have a problem. The word kosher is very important to our whole culture, our whole religion. That word is not once mentioned in the Torah. Or in the Talmud.
So it became, exactly, it became an important word thousands of years later. It wasn't, the word kosher wasn't relevant to them. We were talking about the same thing, but they called it tahar, they called it other words, and we call it kosher. It doesn't change.
I understand.
I said it could bother you why the word kosher isn't used, but you can't say you can't say what is kosher, what isn't clear. The two different points. I agree. One could be disturbed why the word kosher isn't used, but you can't tell me that what kosher means isn't clear. It can't be any clearer. If it's split hooves and it has chews its cud, if it has fins and scales, right? That's a definition of kosher. What we call kosher, they'll call it tahar. We could use any word we want, but it's not gonna have a halach. The fact that I call something kosher versus if I say I want to say it's pure, I want to say it's clean, we could use any word I want. It's the same food that we're talking about.
Rabbi, can I have a question?
Yeah, Jeff.
Thank you. Look, this turkey, you said that with birds, we don't know what all those birds mean.
No, I'm agreeing by birds isn't clear, then we need the Talmud to tell us, and we need tradition. Yeah, that's one of the rules that we know it's not a kosher bird, because you are what you eat. That's what your nutritionist tells you. But the Torah says that also, spiritually speaking, we are what we. And in fact, I think it was Ben Franklin. The eagle is the bird, and is the national symbol in the U.S. He wanted to change it to the turkey because he says the eagle is a very, cruel animal. That, it eats its prey, it attacks. So even Ben Franklin was onto it. He was also bothered by it. He wanted to change the eagle to the turkey because of this. So,
oh, you're turkey.
Yeah, and in fact, so what? What? And also, that's why they point out. Why those specific signs? So the Mefarshim give reasons to learn out. But let me ask you something. Why on a traffic light does green mean go and red mean to stop? So the bottom line is, it doesn't make a difference. If people went on red and stopped on green, that would work also. I'm sure there's psychological reasons why they took the why green means go and red means stop. But the bottom line is, the purpose of the light is to promote traffic. So if the whole world changed the signs, then it would be okay. If half the people changed the signs, you'll have a lot of accidents. So same thing with kosher. On one level, there's no difference. Maybe it's just coincidental, chew its cud and split hooves. But is it, in general rule, it shows self-control. In other words, the point being is some animals you can eat. We're not like animals. They can just take anything they want and just pounce on it. In fact, there was a test done in Stanford. I think they called it the marshmallow test. But everyone think of the favorite treat, chocolate chip cookies, and you could take the marshmallow out and put in your own treat. But here was the test. They put in, it was kids, but it could have been adults also. And they said, here's the rule. They put them in a room. They didn't know they were being, it was a double mirror. They didn't know they were looking. And they said, here's one marshmallow in front of you. If you wait 10 minutes, I'll give you a whole bag of marshmallows. So some people go in, they just, 30 seconds in, they just eat the marshmallow. Other people are waiting, and then they start picking on the bottom. Others like licking it. So the point of the study is, they followed these kids around for 20 years. And they found out the kids that showed the self-control and did not eat the marshmallow and waited 10 minutes and got the bag, they were the people successful in life. Because to be successful in life, you have to have patience, you have to save, you have to be able to give up the immediate desire to realize that you're going to need money later on or whatever we're talking about. So in fact, it reminds me of a story. I was in ShopRite in the Catskills, and it's a mostly Jewish store. You know, it's like Sobeys in Toronto, but it's a supermarket, but a lot of kosher. And I was waiting online, and there's a woman in front of me who clearly did not look Jewish. And the kids were, like, what's the first thing you see in Shoppers Drug Mart when you walk in? What section?
I don't know. The cosmetics.
Correct. Why? Not because people aren't beautiful. Why is cosmetics there? Because that's the... It's the biggest...
Impulse buying.
Women buy an impulse. And that's true, but it's also the biggest money maker. That's to have the biggest spreads on it. That's how they make most of the money. So it's both. So at the counter also, they put the gum, the candy. They want people impulse buying. And also they want you to come with your kids so they could grab. So this woman was in front of me. Her kids were going crazy. She wasn't Jewish. At least I didn't think she was. And then she's screaming at the kids. And she finally screams at the kids, "Tyrone, this isn't kosher." So I just said, by the way, are you Jewish? Do you eat kosher? No, I'm not Jewish. We don't eat. So why are you telling your kid that? I asked her. She said, you know what? Because I'm in this store all the time. It works when the Jewish mothers scream at their kids and say it's not kosher. It works for them. I figured I'd give it a shot. The point being is, part of kosher is learning self-control. And of course, there are specific reasons why chew its cud, split hooves, and all these other laws of kosherness. But the main thing is to exhibit, that's why also we make brachas before we make brachas after. And this is and also in terms of milk and meat. So some say milk represents life, meat represents death. We want a separation of life and death issues, like separation of church and state. We don't want the Kohanim or our spiritual leaders. That's why they can't come into a cemetery. We want to have a separation of life and death issues. Those are some of the issues of kashrus. I have mincha shortly, so I have to head out now. Maybe I'll see you on Zoom at mincha if you stay on. But by the way, it's Sunday 10:15 on Sunday. We have a shiur. 10:15 Sunday morning, same channel. You got that, Jeff?
Okay,
keep in touch. Have a good Shabbos, everyone, and hopefully I'll.
Good Shabbos.